good to see you again here on another Bible study day. And we've got a real good...
Our text today, scripture, comes from... This was probably written by a student or a protege, so to speak, of Isaiah. Those of us who receive Christ as our Savior, we all become a part and are adopted into that family.
And God is going to give you an opportunity to be good, kind, to elevate, to help somebody.
All right, we're going to get right into our lesson today. And we've got a real good lesson. It's Wednesday. It's Bible study day. It's time for us to get back into the Word of God together. I want to thank our own Reverend Zachariah Johnson, who did an outstanding job on last week. And now you got me. You got me, Pastor Evans. And I am thanking God for this opportunity to be of service to you. Now, open your Bibles today to Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 through verse number 20. And today we're going to be with one of my biblical heroes, and that is Nehemiah the cupbearer. Our subject is initiating renewal. Our subject is initiating renewal. Again, coming from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 through 20, initiating renewal. And let's talk a little bit about this man, Nehemiah. Nehemiah, of course, we know in chapter 1 had received word from his brother Hanani, who said to him that the walls in Jerusalem were in very bad shape. The gates, the entrance to that great city was in very bad shape. Now, keep in mind that they had been invaded back as 140 years ago. All right. In regard to the context of this particular text, y'all listen to me. It had been 140 plus years since they were exiled out of Jerusalem. But note this about God. Some 70 years prior to that, they had been set free. They had been given the opportunity to return back to Jerusalem. And about 50,000 people took Cyrus up on his offer. Cyrus, the Persians, rather, had conquered the Babylonians around 439 B.C., and when the new emperor came into power, he gave them the opportunity to go back. But you'll need to know this, that people like Daniel and Nehemiah, his family, they stayed there in Babylon, which is now Persia, but they stayed there in Susa, which was the capital city of the empire at the time. However, but when those other individuals went back, as you will know, they kept meeting with roadblocks that kept them from completing the task. And it came from those governors, those people placed in charge there by the Babylonians and now the Persians, as they were the overseers of that area, of that region, and they were throwing up roadblocks. You know, you always have somebody throwing up a roadblock, somebody always trying to keep you from accomplishing your task. But let me tell you something. I learned something that is very important. When you're talking about the test of a man, is the test of a man is the fight that he makes, and it's the grit that he daily shows, the way this man stands on his feet and takes life's numerous bumps and blows. And that particular poem is talking about how a man is supposed to just, you understand that life's going to be hard, and that a coward, a coward can smile when there's nothing to fear. He can do that, but it takes a man to stand and cheer, when the other fellow is doing a very good job. And even when you pushed up against the wall, if you keep on fighting, if you keep on trying to make it, it's the man who wins fate defied because he is not afraid to fail. You got to understand, and I chopped that poem up, but you need to know that failure is just another roadway, another building block towards success. Failure is a building block towards success. If you have not ever made a mistake, if you have not ever failed at something, you've not ever attempted anything. I had to tell my boys years ago, and when they said to me, well, you told us that failure is not an option. I say, you know what? I misspoke. I was ignorant. I didn't know any better. failure is an option, because Daddy wants you to try to do the next thing. Don't ever get satisfied in one place. God is trying to ever move us and stretch us. Here Nehemiah heard the word, and the Bible says that it affected him. It affected him when he heard that the walls were broken down. It affected him when he heard that the gates were burned with fire. It affected him so much that Nehemiah went into a spiritual slump. He cried out to God, and then he sought, if you would, favor from God. That he asked God to give him favor so that he could go before the king. At the time, the king or the emperor was Artaxerxes, and he would go before him and ask the king to give him favor, give him a passport to travel, and give him building material for when he got back to the home place, Jerusalem. When was the last time you went to the home place? Amen. Now, you know your home place. It might have been in the country somewhere. It might have been in the hood somewhere, but it was the home place. You think about that home place and the condition that it is in. And does it not ever cause you just to, you know, just kind of bottle up, get knots in your stomach? You know, it's amazing because, you know, our parents and grandparents kept the home place all nice, and they had gardens and all kind of stuff. They took care of it. We played there as kids, and then when they died, we wouldn't even pay the taxes. Hello, somebody on the home place. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just shucks. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? I had a tax bill after my great-grandmother died, but by the grace of God, umpteen years later, was able to settle that because God helped me to settle that. But you hear what I'm saying? The home place. This brother's heart was heavy because of the condition of the home place. So verse number 11 says to us, after he had been granted a passport, granted favor by the king to go back to the home place, they traveled 1,100 miles. Let me read verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Now, again, Jerusalem, the distance from Susa, which was the capital of Persia at the time, from Susa to Jerusalem was 1,100 miles. Now, you think about this. If they're walking or on a beast, you know, you're talking about 3, 4, 5 miles an hour. You got to understand, and they traveled all day until it got dark. So it took them about 3 months to get to Jerusalem. It took them about 3 months to travel 1,100 miles. Y'all know that's like traveling from Texas to Los Angeles. Can you imagine it taking 3 months to get from Texas to Los Angeles? Now, if you live in Dallas-Fort Worth, it's going to take you 10 hours just to get to El Paso, Texas. Amen. I mean, this is Texas, y'all. You know, I can get to Birmingham, Alabama quicker than I can get to El Paso. Hello. I mean, that's just the way it is. So note that distance. It was a great distance. And the Bible says that he was on his journey. He got there, scripture says, and he was there for 3 days. You know, he had been strategizing for those 3 months, don't you? You know, he had been working out, and God had been working through him what the plan was when he got there. Verse number 12 says, and he says, and I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. Here, the Bible teaches us that Nehemiah didn't take a whole crowd of people. Amen. He took a few men. Some say that he took men who were maybe familiar with the territory. Others say that he took men who were not only familiar with the territory, but men who he could depend on, men who were his confidants, men who were his advisors, men who were possibly his lieutenants, but he didn't tell them everything. Amen. Sometimes we have a tendency, number one, to include too many people on a matter before it's time. Amen. Because I've learned that if you have a big group, if you have a group of 20 people, you're going to have about 42 different opinions on something. Hello. That's why when you put together a committee or something of that nature, number one, you want to put together an odd-numbered committee because you don't ever want there to be a tie. Somebody needs to break the tie, number one. Number two, it doesn't need to be a big group of people. Amen. Because then you probably won't get a whole lot done. But you want a smaller group. You don't want everybody thinking like you. Amen. Notice that Nehemiah, the word doesn't say that he took with him a few like-minded men, but he took with him a few men with him. And the word says that he took them and the beast. The man had to get around town. So he did that. He said, save the beast that I rode upon. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast I rode upon. So the other fellows walked. Nehemiah was on the beast. Well, you can understand, Nehemiah just walked some 1,100 miles. So he was on the beast there. He took with him these men, and he did not at the time tell them exactly what God had placed in his heart. Hello, somebody. See, there are times when you want to just try the spirit by the spirit. You want to see if people have the same vibe that you have the same inkling that you have the same enlightenment that you have. That comes from God. Amen. Amen. You remember when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do they say that I am? And all of them gave an opinion. But then here you have Peter. Peter said, I know who you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, wait a minute. Flesh and blood did not what? Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. That was revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. So he took these men with him. And watch this. And verse 13 says, and I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Now, what you need to know is that the gates had been consumed. The gates had been torn down. The gates had been broken down now for almost a century. Now, you think about that. You think about it. There were at least 50,000 people who went back who had been there now for at least 70 years. And still, the walls were not prepared. Pastor Evans, tell me why. I told you earlier there were roadblocks. And, you know, if you don't have the passion to press on and move on, if it is something that you got to conjure up or you manufacture, you're not going to have the fire and the drive behind your task. Are you with me? You know, the first time you meet with opposition, oh, I quit. The first time somebody disagrees with you, I'm leaving. The first time somebody doesn't see it the way you see it, I ain't want nothing to do with it. Hello, somebody. But you know what? I thank God, because God is the ignition, is the fuel behind the passion that is in the spirit of a man or a woman. You keep on pressing. Look at how bad the conditions are. He is describing terrible conditions from the gate at the valley. Amen. Amen. From the Kidron Valley, they believe. Amen. You remember that brook, the Kidron Brook. You remember that was the brook where Elijah was fed. You remember that by the ravens. You got me. But anyhow, it was round about that area, that vicinity, all the way down to the dung heap. Amen. It tells you to the dung port. You know when you can really trust people is when you can even show them the mess in your life. Amen. Y'all know what dung is. Dung is feces. Dung is refuse. Dung is the throwaway stuff. And when God blesses you to have people who can go with you from the brook all the way to the toilet. Hello, somebody. Anybody want to admit to the fact that there are times when God allows you to have people close enough to you who can see the mess in your life and still love you, see the mess in your life and still walk with you. It did not say in verse number 14 even that after he had taken them there that they had abandoned the place and gone on about their business. No, he took them from the Kidron. Amen. Even to the southernmost parts of Jerusalem, which would have included the pool of Siloam, and not only there, but again, all the way to the dung port. Amen. Where they dumped all of the poop. And then verse 14 says, then I went on to the gate of the fountain and the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Amen. Look, it was the conditions were so bad to where even the donkey couldn't go to certain places. The conditions were so bad. They were so blocked off. He could not circumnavigate the city because there were parts that were just not accessible. Amen. Think about it. They were not, it was parts that were not accessible. He says, even the beast that was under me could not pass. Hello, somebody. Life will present to you detours. Life will present to you portals in which you cannot navigate. Amen. But you know what I like about verse number 14? Nehemiah did not stop. He took them all the way to the dung port. He did not stop. He went to another section of the gate, of the wall, and he did not stop. I want y'all to hear me. There will be times when life will knock you off your beast, knock you off your high horse. Don't miss what I'm saying. There'll be times when you won't be able to take everything that you brought with you through whatever it is you're dealing with. There are some things that you're going to have to shed on your way through. Verse number 14, I'm trying to teach it and not preach it. Verse 15 says, then went I up in the night by the brook, that's the Kidron, and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. So what he did was he had to go back the way that he came. See that? You see that? He had to go back the way that he came. I was taught by my elders, be careful about how you treat people, son, because the very people who you passed on your way up might be the very same people who you may need on your way back down. Amen, somebody. I've learned about humility. The higher up, the more access that I have to opportunities, I have learned to stay humble. And watch God. No, this isn't some noble thing that Michael does, but God will allow you to have enough thorns in your flesh, enough opposition in your way, that it will cause you to pray. It will cause you to stay in contact with him. It'll mess around and make a preacher out of you because you don't really know what you can take until you have to take it. He'll humble you. He will send you back. Verse 15, you'll go back. He'll return. You'll go back the very way in which you came. And see, my prayer is that when I go back, amen, I'm taking back some goodies. When I go back, I'm taking back some opportunities. When I go back, I don't want to return, amen, the same way that I left. I'd like to take internships back to young men and women who's thinking about civil government. You see, as a mayor, I don't get paid one dime, but what I get the opportunity to is to have access to people and to places that I didn't have access to before I was elected the mayor. So now my job is to offer young people an opportunity, amen, to be exposed to some things, yeah, that I wasn't exposed to. I don't ever believe that God has put me anywhere in order for me to think that I'm somebody. He put me there so that somebody else can become somebody. He had to return. He had to go back the very way he came. And watch this, verse 16 says, and the rulers knew not whether I went and what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. That he says it wasn't time yet to reveal to anybody the strategy that God had already revealed to me. It wasn't time for him to entertain the negativity. It was not time for him to reveal all of the stages to the developing plan. Amen. Sometimes people get upset because they want everything right now. They want, I need it right now. I need to know everything about it, all of it right now. But see, understand, God doesn't always want you to know everything right now, because you won't be able to appreciate it when you get to it, except you've had to cry on your way home. Yes, sir. Except you've had to experience some things on your way home. You don't really know how to appreciate. I dare you to meet up with some folk who didn't grow up with a whole lot of things. Amen. Amen. And especially if they're sober-minded enough to know that it was God who bequeathed, who blessed them to have what they have. Amen. People laugh at me, but I tell you right now, you know, but I praise God for my family. I praise God that I have a stitch of clothes to put on. I praise God for the places that I get to go. Amen. And I dare you to ask me about it, and you'll hear me say, to God be the glory. Amen. To God be the glory. Listen, that's why I'm tripping. You know, it's been 14 months since we've been back in the church. Amen. That's why I'm kind of acting like I'm acting. I'm restless. I'm anxious now. I'm ready. Amen. Amen. I just want to hear every now and then somebody shout hallelujah and amen. I just every now and then want to feel that music reverberating through my inward self that makes you shout when ain't nothing hurting you, makes you run when ain't nobody running after you. It's just something about, amen, being able to return. Bethlehem, in the name of Jesus, we too are at the beginning stages of renewal. Amen. We're going to have to re-enter this space with the understanding that we got to come back in here, and we've got to anoint the ground, amen, with a bat of oil. We've got to anoint the pews. We've got to anoint the chairs. We've got to anoint the pulpit. We've got to anoint the choir stand, because we've been gone too long. Hello, somebody. And then when you get back, you've got to make sure that you sanctify the space all over again. Amen. You got to sanctify it all over again. And let me tell you, everybody may not be with you when you come back. Amen. But it's all right. It's all right. So he didn't tell anybody because they couldn't understand the entirety of the plan. That's verse number 16. We're going to come on in now. Verse 17 says, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Brother says to those men who he took with him, in essence, he says, do you see what I see? He wants to do a spirit check. Do you feel like I feel? Amen. Does it cause you to feel sad? Does it embarrass you that we serve a mighty God and Jerusalem is the praying place, is the place where the worshipers are supposed to go? And is it anybody who's looking at these walls and the deteriorating condition of the gate? And is it anybody who feels embarrassed? That's what he's saying. He says, I don't want to be no more in reproach. That means mockery. Amen. You mean to tell me you serve a God and this is the kind of, and you're fine with the conditions of the holy city? It's people like that in church. It's amazing how people can live in houses that's worth several hundreds of thousands of dollars and don't mind coming to a church with holes in the wall. I ain't talking about around here, because amen. But you understand what I'm saying. Amen. They don't mind worshiping in a shack when they live in a mansion. Hello, somebody. But what he's saying is, if we are children of God, then we ought to make sure that whatever represents our God ought to even be better than what we have. Amen. Solomon say, wait a minute. I built me a house. It took me this long to build my palace. He says, ain't no way. I've got to make sure that the temple looks better than my house. He says, we won't be in reproach anymore. No derision or mockery. Amen. We can ride around in Jaguars and Benzes and Bentleys, but amen. But we can worship in a hood. Y'all ain't hearing me. Y'all ain't hearing me. Amen. I'm about to make somebody mad. Yes, sir. You mean to tell me you all right? Huh? You all right? Lights ain't coming on. You're fine. No hot water in the bathroom. You fine. Floors are dingy and dusty. You fine. Amen. And you invite somebody to your church. Amen. And they scared to sit down, not knowing if a mouse or a rat's going to bite them on the toe. Amen. He says, in this current state, we ought to be embarrassed. See, there are three things that you needed in order to have a successful abode in regard to a city. Number one, you wanted to have access to water. Well, they had the Kidron, but again, you know, the brook. But again, you understand, it had been vacated. And number two, you wanted to have good access to trade routes so that you could deal and you could have supplies in your city. Number three, you needed to have a defensive strategy. That was the wall. That was the gate. You needed to build it up, because if you don't build it up, the enemy can come in. That's the same with your life. Have you thought about it? Amen. Don't you know you need to have your thirst quenched? Amen. With the word of God. Amen. You need to have access to the trade route. What are you talking about, Pastor Evans? I'm talking about you need to know where your bread is coming from. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. You need to have a fence built around you. You need to make sure that the enemy can't just infiltrate you and you thicken yourself up with the word of God. Amen. Amen. Verse number 18 says, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Amen. After he got their vibe, after they saw what he saw, felt what they felt, he said, let me tell you something real good. He says, we can do this. We can rebuild the wall because God, amen, has given us favor. Because the hand of God, amen, was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. He's saying, listen, God told me what to say to Artaxerxes. Hello. And when I went in there and said everything that God told me to say, I received everything that God knew that I needed. Hello, somebody. I dare you to move yourself out of the way. Allow the word of God to be to be the place from which you get your nourishment from, that it helps you to reframe your mind and make sure that the words that come out of your mouth, hello, that they are ordered by the very breath and hand of God. Amen. God's hand is on me. How do you know? Look at what we have. We've got full access to, amen, to get here. We've got building supplies that came from the king himself, and he made sure that they were to give us all of the supplies that we needed. He says, fellas, God did that. And I want to say this to those individuals, bless your heart. In particular at the Bethlehem Church, you know, yeah, we're going to build, amen. It'll probably be 2022, but it's coming, amen. And the question is, you know, do you see what we see? Do you see what I see? Do you feel what I feel, amen? Because I ain't the Lord, but it's God put an inkling, a burning in your spirit that causes you to want to say, let me go, amen. I was glad when they said unto me, come and let us go into the house, hallelujah, of the Lord. Amen. And the other people, they caught on fire because Nehemiah was on fire. Look at the second part of verse number 18. After he had given his testimony, the word of God says, they said, let us rise up and build so that strengthen their hands. In other words, they got themselves ready. Amen. By the hand of God, they knew that God had been leading them to accomplish this particular work. And the Bible says that they had strengthened their hands. They had prepared themselves. They were ready for this good work. Hallelujah. You got to ready yourself. Yeah. Fasting and praying, you got to ready yourself. tarrying, spending time off with God by yourself. You've got to ready yourself for what God is trying to do with you and through you. Verse 19, but when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Sanballat the Horonite was the governor of the region. But now here come Nehemiah. He felt that Nehemiah was easing in on his territory. He was the one calling the shots till Nehemiah. Help me, Holy Ghost. Then you have Tobiah, the flunky. Oh, that's right, the servant. But he was the flunky. Sanballat laughed, he laughed. Sanballat tell him to step and fetch it, he stepped and fetched it. You understand. Geshem, the Arabian, they were the people who traded things. You understand. Anytime God is trying to do something extraordinary through you, you better expect opposition. Watch this. That last phrase is an important phrase. Will you rebel against the king? See, all you needed to say, if you were the governor, you send a word to the king saying, these people are down here building so that one day they can rebel against you. All you needed was somebody to lie on you. You know, there's a poem by Rudyard Kipling, If. And in that poem it says, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, if you can be lied about, don't deal in lies. Let me tell y'all something. You're going to always have somebody somewhere, they're going to lie on you. I've been lied on by some folk who even say they speak in tongues. Then y'all been lied on by holy rollers? Then y'all been talked about or mistreated or abused by people who will tear up a pew but will cuss you out right in the parking lot of the church? What you gonna do? What y'all gonna do? Y'all ain't all of that. You gonna always have somebody trying to press you down. But watch the man of God. Verse number 20. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. His answer was, God will make a way. And everything that the devil stole, God's going to give it back to us. You don't have any claim on what God has given to me. Listen to this. Listen. What's yours is yours. What God gave to you, can't anybody snatch it away from you. If it's your position, if it's your family, the devils in hell can't take from you what God has given you. It's time for renewal. It's being initiated by God. Which one of you is going to answer the call to take the next step? That's our lesson. May God bless you. strengthen you and encourage you. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Thank you, God, for your spirit that causes us to step out on faith. God, I pray for those who have been listening today, watching today, that they may know, God, that you are still in the restoration business. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we pray this prayer together. We love you, God, and amen. God bless you. Make it a good week.